Now, what I'm going to present tonight is one of a number of reports from the Infections and Substance Abuse Study. As of now, this is still the only NIDA Clinical Trials Network study that originated from one of the treatment programs rather than coming from the university center. So we thought that was cool. You see, this was supported by a grant from NIDA. And to kind of prove that NIDA is in control, we had our main paper from this study published in Public Health Reports in July and August issue of this year. And a couple of weeks before that, at a meeting of the President's Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS, an official from NIDA circulated pre-publication copies of that article at that meeting. Another cool thing. But there is no truth to the rumor that the copy that was given to President Bush had the word strategery added to the title. Suspects are being waterboarded as we speak. Okay. Now, by way of background, hepatitis B and hepatitis C are major causes of morbidity and mortality in the United States. Substance abusers are disproportionately affected by hepatitis B and C, and these individuals are largely responsible for sustaining the viral hepatitis epidemic in the United States. This is especially true for hepatitis C. Now, despite the potential role of substance abuse treatment programs in reducing transmission of viral hepatitis, surprisingly little is known about hepatitis B and C health services offered by those treatment programs. Now, the primary objectives of this report are to describe the specific types of hepatitis B and C testing available, the range of hepatitis C-related services offered by the substance abuse treatment programs, and the availability of hepatitis C treatment. We also want to determine whether hepatitis C health services differ between programs that do and do not have clear guidelines for hepatitis testing, and also we wanted to compare methadone and non-methadone programs. This was a cross-sectional study. The surveys were done either written or online, and for this report, the study population were the treatment program administrators of drug treatment programs that are part of the Clinical Trials Network. Now, as part of the larger study, treatment program clinicians and state substance abuse and health department administrators were also surveyed, but they won't be covered here. But it was covered in the main paper, as I mentioned, that was published in Public Health Reports in July and August. And this shows you the Clinical Trials Network and the 17 nodes of the Clinical Trial Network that has 116 community treatment agencies, and that with over 300 discrete treatment programs in 26 states and the District of Columbia. Now, the study procedures, this was approved by expedited IRB approval in all 17 nodes. We had to go through, I think, 20 or 25 IRBs, so it took a while, but they all approved it in the same way and with waiver of informed consent. We used an information sheet for the participants. Now, this shows you an algorithm of how the administrative surveys were done. The important thing here is that it was designed to maintain confidentiality while obtaining the widest possible participation. Now, first for some general results, 319 treatment program administrators were surveyed, and we got back 269 of them, over 84%. Among the clinicians, we got just under 80% of over 2,300 clinicians that we surveyed, and we got surveys from either the substance abuse and or the health department from 48 states and the District of Columbia. Now, in terms of the characteristics of the substance abuse treatment programs, Generally the corporate structure, how do we get, let's see, the corporate structure, overwhelmingly these were private not-for-profit agencies. Generally they were freestanding. The state was the largest source of funding, and it was only in the addiction services was there a lot of variance in terms of the types of programs that were offered, and the numbers add up to quite a bit more than 100% because most programs offer more than one modality. Okay, in terms of other program characteristics, more than three-fourths of them have medical personnel, although generally the non-medical personnel outnumber the medical personnel. The census is generally under 500, and approximately 50% of the programs have an hepatitis C positivity rate that is greater than 20%. And actually, I think if you went nationwide, I think the average is probably around 75% hepatitis C positive. And in some places, like in our programs in Brooklyn, it's probably about on the order of about 90%. Now for some specific results related to hepatitis B and C. The majority of the programs offer training for hepatitis C for both the medical and the non-medical personnel, and approximately two-thirds of them had the training within the past year. About three-quarters of the treatment program administrators reported that their programs do not offer hepatitis B-related testing. And you see a whole array of tests that are done, which would be, these are basically the standard tests that you'd be doing if you were looking for hepatitis B. And you see that across the board, not too many programs are doing them. And the findings are even more pronounced for hepatitis C testing. Less than a quarter, and less than a quarter offer hepatitis A and B vaccinations on site or through a contractual agreement with another provider. As you see, despite large numbers of patients, the amount of activity that is done for these diseases is somewhat sparse. Here you see specific hepatitis C services offered by the drug treatment programs. Again, these are either offered on, these percentages are either offered on site or through a contractual relationship with a specialty provider. Ones that are related specifically to medical care, patient treatment, patient monitoring, you see the numbers are very low. For the non-medical services, such as patient education and risk assessment and counseling, the numbers are a little bit better. Now, here on this slide, what we found was that if there were clear or somewhat clear program guidelines, this significantly impacted both hepatitis C testing and hepatitis A and B vaccination rates. Other data from this study in the state paper showed that the presence of state guidelines made it significantly more likely that the treatment program guidelines were clear. So there ended up being a flow from the states having guidelines for hepatitis C services, that the programs were more likely to have clear guidelines, and under that circumstance then it was more likely that those programs would offer the services. Now, when we separated methadone programs from non-methadone programs, you see that across the board, the methadone programs are significantly more likely to offer hepatitis C services than the non-methadone programs. And this is felt to be due to the fact that programs that are offering pharmacotherapy would be more likely to have medical personnel that could offer these services, or they would have more likely to have relationships with the specialists that they could develop the contractual relationships in order to more easily refer. So in conclusion, many substance abuse treatment programs do not offer comprehensive hepatitis B or C testing. Hepatitis C-related health services, hepatitis C treatment, or hepatitis A and B vaccination services. The public health interventions to improve access to hepatitis testing, treatment, and prevention for substance abusers are clearly needed.
Thank you.
Okay.